You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to an incredible journey with internationally renowned lawyer of attraction, Paula Kidd Casey. Applying the skills gained over 40 years of practicing law, Paula uses facts, logic, and science to prove the validity of the Law of Attraction. Join Paula each week as she explores unique concepts, allowing you to rediscover the wisdom of the ancient masters, all while weaving in the science that proves magic really does happen. If you yearn for a life change or want to rediscover
Hello,
your passion, then share
Casey,
the path with Paula and begin to love your journey every step
and
of the way.
Welcome. You are on the Law of Attraction Radio Network. It is 2 weeks to Christmas, and we are busy here. I just went up to Topeka, Kansas, which is the capital of Kansas, and I had a speech in front of a Kansas association, and I was on a radio show, and I'm teaching, and I'm doing this radio show, and, you know, this is the time of year that we just need to take some time for ourselves and pause and try to get away from the hustle and bustle and try to just take a big, deep breath and just really stay in the now, just really stay in the present moment and be grateful for the small things. This is the time of year that we feel like there's so many things we're supposed to do and buy. And if we have a roof over our head and we have people that love us, you know, that's what we need to concentrate on. My guest today is a very wonderful woman. I met her 6 or 7 years ago. She and I hit it off wonderfully. She was at another seminar that I was at. We've kind of kept in touch. She has such an amazing story. She was addicted, homeless. I mean, really had a tough life for, I think she says, about 25 years. And she decided, she read The Secret, she found Mike Dooley, and she decided to take one step at a time and get some mental wellness. She's now a peer support system. She works in the mental health business, and she's such an amazing story. So if you want something that's uplifting and that will make you know that there's hope at this time of the year, please stay tuned for Haviland Russell. We will be right back with her. And we are back with Haviland Russell. And Haviland, thank you so much for being here with me today. I certainly appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the invitation, Paula. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I keep seeing you on Facebook. And Haviland and I go back, I don't know, 6 or 7 years. We're both IPPYs, which are infinite possibility people, with Mike Dooley. And I met you 6 and a half years ago, and I was so taken by your story. And we have been friends since then. And I just really wanted you on here to kind of tell people your backstory and what happened, and then this journey you've had to awareness and inspiration, how you're changing other people's lives. So does that sound okay?
Yes.
Great.
So
tell us your story.
Yeah. So my story. Wow. So I have grown through more than about 25 years of addiction recovery challenges. And it was something that when I was in the midst of it, it felt hopeless and like it would never end. And I was also experiencing mental health challenges as well. And so there was a lot of depression and darkness and suicidal ideation and different self-harming behaviors in addition to addiction. And it was just a spiral. It just felt like it just continued to spiral and continued to spiral downward. And more than anything, I remember I wanted to feel happy. I wanted to be happy. And I had heard about The Secret and really got into that and trying to implement the practices of visualizing.
And what year was that you really kind of started that journey into the new awareness?
Wow. Whenever it was that The Secret came out, I really can't.
Like 06. It came out in 06, 07. So yep. It was, yeah, okay.
Yes, ma'am. And so it was around that time then that The Secret came out and all the different teachers. Mm-hmm. And I really got into, you know, believe, expect, believe, receive. Expect,
uh-huh.
Christmas Eve. And so visualizing, and I would sit there and visualize, you know, millions of dollars raining down on me, and would wonder if it didn't work, and all this while still getting high, mind you. I really, there was a disconnect for me with that. I didn't really get how that worked until I saw a video by Mike Dooley, who was one of the featured teachers on The Secret, called Thoughts Become Things.
Uh-huh.
And for me, that video was an absolute game changer.
Oh, I love that.
And it was a game changer because it picked up where I felt The Secret kind of left me wondering how this works.
Yes.
And so in that video, Mike says, yes, anything you want, you absolutely can have. And every day you need to take baby steps of action. Every day, no matter what, you have to take baby steps of action. Visualize what you desire for about 5, no more than 7 minutes. Infuse that with feeling and emotion and woohoos, and what that would feel like, what that would be like. And every day, take baby steps of action. Don't worry about the cursed house. Don't worry about how am I going to get here. Because it's not until you get there that you're able to look back and be like, holy moly, it's because this happened that brought me here, that got me here, that brought me here faster than if I had paid meticulous attention to all the detail.
Right? It's amazing how the universe works in the background, right?
Yeah,
we can't connect the dots, but that old universe can connect the dots.
Right, it is. And for me, I was like, oh, okay, I have to do something. I have to take action.
Oh, yes. We had to take baby steps.
Okay. So so for me, when I would visualize, okay, what do I want? And I remember thinking, okay, I see myself feeling high off of life and at peace with myself and in the moment. I see myself responding to my daughters with love rather than reacting in anger. I see myself feeling happy and fulfilled from the inside. I see myself using my hands to create beautiful jewelry rather than preparing the drugs I was using.
Wow.
And so for me, baby steps of action came in the form of reaching out and being able to connect with my Sally. Cue the sound of angels. My Sally, you ask?
Yes, I do ask.
My Sally is my godsend of a therapist.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, I really feel to know anything about me is to know my Sally. And she really provided that healing space that was needed for me to learn to be at peace with myself and to move forward. I always thought that I had to forgive others for what they had done to me. And one of the biggest shifts for me was I realized I needed to forgive. I needed to release the anger that I had toward others so that I could forgive myself for how I was now showing up in life. That was huge. It wasn't that I needed to forgive others. It's that I needed to release the anger that I had so that I could forgive myself for the ways I was now showing up because of the things that were done.
Well, you know, and forgiveness is really for us, right? It's like drinking poison and expecting somebody else to die. When we feel bad, it's our vibration. It's us not feeling the way we should. And we think we're hurting somebody else by not forgiving them or whatever, or ourselves. But all it does is just, it's more toxic. And that's so insightful. That must have been an extremely hard concept, right? To grasp.
Yeah. It took some doing to get there for sure.
How long do you think you saw a therapist before you got to that point?
It wasn't so much that it was a point. It was a
journey, a process.
Yeah. It was a transformation.
Oh.
It was bit by bit. And
were you able to use the law of attraction information in with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
As far as, what do you mean by that?
Well, like therapy is not in contradiction to the law of attraction. It can be used to help it along in concert with it, right? Because the law of attraction says we get what we put out, and therapy helps us put out better things, right? Helps us put out better feelings, better ideas, better action steps to take.
Yes. Sally did an incredible job of being able to support my beliefs with the law of attraction and align it with where I was and how I was moving forward. It was just one of the most healing, non-judgmental, loving spaces I have ever felt and been a part of. And it just really brought me forward in the most phenomenal of ways.
And then we actually met at a Mike Dooley event, right?
Yes. Yeah. So what happened then was, also when I would visualize, I remember thinking, and Mike is going to know my name. I'm Mike. Because in the DVD, it seemed as if he was in the living room sitting right there having a conversation. Uh-huh. So flash forward, it didn't happen overnight. However, I was able to move through the addiction recovery challenges I experienced. I received a mental health diagnosis of bipolar, was able to find a medication regimen that allowed for the sense of balance that I needed. And then I got to a space and place where I was able to work again. I hadn't worked for 10 years and didn't think that I would. And I became a peer support specialist. And
I love that. Tell us what that means.
Yeah. A peer support specialist is someone that has a lived experience with mental health and or addiction recovery challenges. As we learned, I tend to be ambitious and nailed both of those really well.
Yay!
So, and it's from our past experiences that we draw from so that we can connect with others. You know, going through it gives us the credibility, to speak to it.
Because you've been through it. So you're somebody that they can relate to and they can, you're a great role model. You know, you went through it and now you're on the other side and you're helping them. That's your profession now, right?
Yes. And the cool thing about it is basically what I get to do now, because I'm still a peer support specialist, it's the answer to the why I had when I was going through it. Like, why am I going through this? Why am I here? Oh. And why do I keep showing up in these spaces? And what I know now is I learned so many different aspects of the challenges associated with mental health and addiction recovery challenges that I'm able to know myself that much more and offer that much more of a connection and guidance for others.
I love that. I love the fact that, you know, at the time we're going through something negative, it's really hard for us to grasp why it would have to be so bad. But when you get on the other side, you can connect the dots that was the biggest blessing you could have, because look at what you learned. And now look at what you're able to share, and you're able to help other people with that, which you would not have been able to if you hadn't gone through that dark period, right?
Right. Absolutely.
So is that what you do now full time, is you work with the in the mental health area?
Yes, I work at a mental health and wellness facility. And
I know that you do a lot of speaking. I see that on Facebook. Tell us about that.
Yes. So now I have a passion, an absolute passion for speaking about creating mental health awareness and changing the narrative is the platform I've developed, which is changing the narrative from fighting the stigma of mental illness to creating mental health awareness. So much of fighting the stigma of mental illness, it's
negative, right? We're putting out that there's a stigma, that there's something wrong with it. When it's a chemical imbalance, it's something that you can't help it. It's something that you need outside help. And if you put it in mental health awareness, that's a positive vibe, right? When you're putting that out, you're going to get more positivity back.
Yes, exactly. And so, for example, I will no longer fight the stigma of mental illness. However, I will do all I can to create mental health awareness.
I love that.
Right? And that makes a difference. And viewing it in those words has made all the difference for myself. So although I no longer identify as someone who is mentally ill, who suffers from mental illness, who has a mental illness, I will recognize and acknowledge that I'm someone that has a mental health diagnosis. I have things that affect my mental health and
wellness. I love that. Yeah.
And so I speak to mental health professionals and care providers and share that it's important to move towards greater mental health by having those conversations rather than engaging and keeping someone immersed in conversations about mental illness. It's important to shift it to conversations about mental health. And the way to do that is instead of sitting down and having a conversation with me about my mental illness and triggers and coping skills and mental illness and triggers and coping skills right. actually will affect my mental health.
In a negative way.
Right. Yes.
Because you're drawing that energy in that, you know, we need to be in that solution, not in the problem.
There you are. Absolutely. Yeah. And interestingly enough, the suffix ness on illness and wellness, that ness, it means a continual state of being.
Oh, I love that. I didn't know that.
Yes. So if you are having conversations with me about mental illness, it is keeping me in a continual state of being ill.
Yes.
It's a conversation about mental health and wellness, which will invite me into health and wellness. And so the way to have that conversation without having that conversation is, again, instead of sitting down and asking me about mental illness and triggers and coping skills, the way to word it is, so tell me about what's going on that is affecting or preventing you from being able to experience good mental health and wellness. What's going on? Paula, tell me what's going on right now that's affecting or preventing you from being able to experience good mental health and wellness. That's the verbiage. That's the way the conversation needs to be had. That is the way the narrative changes.
And do most people know what that would be? Aren't they kind of in the, so far kind of in the problem that it's hard for them to see what really is going on, or are they pretty self-aware?
I feel that I know for myself, when I was engaged in conversations about mental illness, it kept me feeling as if I was at the mercy of this mental illness, like it owned and defined me.
Like you were a victim to it.
Right. And so it's important to, instead of tell me about your depression or your anxiety or your, you know, suicidal ideation, it's, we need to be mindful not to assign ownership. Tell me about your, tell me about your, tell me about your. Also, it's important not to claim ownership. So often, and I remember doing this myself, I would say, you know, that's just my depression and my anxiety and my, you know, I have to take care of my depression and my anxiety and my, you know, self-harming. And that word my, it's like, oh, it's mine. I'm helping to nurture and help it grow. And
wow.
It's sending a message to the brain. Hey guys, we belong to her. Unless it's my happiness, my joy, or my excitement, I'm not trying to nurture and grow that.
Oh, so I love that. So how do we get rid of that? How do we say it's not ours and not claim it?
Yeah. The way it needs to be worded is the depression I'm feeling, the anxiety I'm experiencing. It's making a statement, not claiming ownership with it.
Ah, yes.
Yeah,
it's just passing through us. It's something we're just having to deal with right now, but it is not you, right?
Yes, yes. And it's empowering. This is about creating a strengths-based, hope-filled, recovery-focused, and empowered language.
Wow, those are some pretty powerful words. Say that again for everybody.
Yes, a strengths-based, a conversation that is based off of strengths. Hope-filled.
Hope filled, love it.
Right? Recovery focused and empowering dialogue.
Wow. So if that doesn't get you on the high flying disc, I don't know what would. I mean, every single one of those words is empowering.
Right.
And if people can learn to internalize that, really, that gives them they know they're powerful. There's a power running to and through us that's going to take care of this. It's not going to take you down, right?
Yes. Yes.
I love that. So you do speeches a lot, right? To get that point across to people that are probably very well-meaning, but are not necessarily well-versed on exactly what needs to be said to help people get to that next level. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And I think it's interesting that when someone has something that affects their mental health and wellness, we reach out to see a mental health care professional, not a mental illness professional. I'm just saying.
Yeah. So
why not create a continuity in the language that's used after reaching out and the conversation that then follows, right? I don't want to reach out to see a mental health care professional and then it's all mental illness based language. It's, you know, creating that continuity.
So is that what the language is that where you work? It's called a mental health facility. They don't use the other negative words.
We are working on it. It's an awareness that I'm creating. I just did a presentation at the workplace and am creating that. And one of the highlights was afterwards, one of the doctors came up and said, you know, my friend and I, who's a therapist, we have a podcast. And at the beginning, we say fighting the stigma of mental illness. And now I'm going to go back and edit that to say creating mental health awareness.
Oh, there you go. See what platform you have. We have no idea what the ripples are going to be. When we say something, how it's going to change everything in the environment. Because when you're a peer advisor, that means you're talking to these people one-on-one, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And so you help them through some of these difficult times that they're going through. Not that they are that, but they're going through that, right?
Yes.
And do you see that like the law of attraction is something that is just so obviously real? Because just like you said, you're using strength, hope, you know, empowered. And that gives them more of that thing because that is the vibration that you are actually presenting to them. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely.
That's great. And so since you've been on this journey, I think your entire life has turned around, right?
Oh my goodness, yes.
So tell us the good things that have happened since you found Mike Dooley and the Law of Attraction and understood therapy. Because I think so many people are in the addiction stage because they are self-medicating, because that they know that there's something that isn't feeling right and they're trying so hard to feel better. I mean, we're all just trying to feel better, right?
Yes.
And if you're bipolar or have some of those other situations that you're going through, all you're wanting to do is feel better. And that's why I think, you know, much more than I do is that they self-medicate. So using the law of attraction when you're doing that, that's got to help them through a lot of things, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. One of the things, let me see if I can get this down here. There's a phrasing, that phrase, hindsight is 2020.
Uh-huh.
One of the things I'll often share is that phrase, hindsight is 2020. It's often thrown out there with a sense of, coulda, shoulda, woulda. This always happens. I always do this. And there's an incredible sense of guilt and shame that kind of brings us down. And then we attract more of that, right?
Uh-huh.
And what I've realized after going through a moment like that, one of the things I received was that even more than the fact that hindsight is 2020, it's that, can you see that?
I can see that. It says, for the people on the radio, it says hindsight, right?
Yes, ma'am. And it's that within hindsight, there's the deep wisdom of
insight. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
So she crossed out the H and the D from hindsight to insight because it does. It gives us lessons. We're here to learn.
Yeah.
We're not here to judge. We're not here to beat ourselves up. We're not here to feel guilty about the past. I love it. The hindsight gives us insight.
Right. And that insight is in high definition.
Woo! Oh, yeah, I love that. High definition. She took the H and the D out. Now we got high definition inside. That's great. You know, you should write a book. I think when we first met, you were talking about writing a book.
Oh, I love that you remember that.
I yes. do. I love that you were going to do that.
Thank you. I feel it's writing itself at this time with the different posts I put on Facebook and the different things I'm doing. It's actually writing itself. And so at this point, it's a matter of me putting it together, taking the time to put it together.
Well, there's people out there that could so benefit from your experience. You know, I've got a book out. It came out a couple years ago. And I found that, you know, I had an outline. And I knew what I wanted to say. When I started writing, things would come to me and I'm going, boy, I'm smart. And it wasn't really me. It was coming through me. There were new ideas that were coming through me. So I think when we know we want to write a book, it's because that higher self is saying, we need to get this message out. So, hey, yeah. Belen, you need to get that message out.
Thank you, Paula. You do.
And I love your posts. And I think that's a great idea to start putting those together. So I know that, you know, you've got this job, you've got a new man in your life, right?
I do.
I see that you've got your kids and your grandkids around you.
Yes. So all of that, I get to speak more. This presentation in particular is called Mental Health and the Energy of Words. Is something that I just, it just lights me up inside. So I've been doing that more. I've been reaching out to the college and different organizations within the community have reached out to me. So I am ultimately my big audacious dream that I'm looking forward to is being able to speak on a platform with the Royals in England. They have a mental health wellness platform.
With Royals in England? Is that what you said?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Because they do have a big mental health program over there, don't they?
Yes, and they use the terminology mental health and wellness in a way that has to be intentional. I've never seen words when speaking about them that are infused with mental illness. It's all mental health and wellness. So they get it.
That's wonderful. So if you had somebody that was in your shoes, and there are people that are listening right now that maybe are right now in your old shoes, where you felt hopeless and you felt like you didn't know what to do and there was some addiction or some problems. Can you give us just a real insightful 5-minute speech of what you would tell them to do, how you would tell them to take that one step in front of the other, just this baby steps?
Yes. I would say that I want you to know that although in this moment it can feel as if you're in the same place where you were last week or last month or last year or doing the same thing, you are not the same person. Any type of transformation that you desire, it occurs within you first, always. Yes. It occurs within you. It occurs with the thoughts you're thinking, the awareness you're receiving, the insight you now have. And although you can feel as if you're in the same space, you are not the same person. And again, within hindsight, there's the deep wisdom of insight. Rather than thinking and plugging into the energy of this always happens, I always do this, I should have this, I should have that, if you can take a moment and just breathe.
I love that.
You can just breathe and reconnect with your higher self, with your sense of intuition, with whatever that is for you, and ask instead, what did I learn? What did I realize? Because there's your answer. When you say, you know, I knew I should have, you're absolutely right. What is that about that you knew? How do you see yourself responding differently next time that situation shows up? Because I guarantee you something like that will show up again. What will that look like? What will that feel like? What will that be like? Infuse that with those thoughts. And breathe so that you can be at peace with yourself in that moment. And again, know that you are changing. You're not the same person. One of the things that can be most frustrating is that those on the outside looking in, seeing you in the same space, can project, see, you're not doing anything different. You're doing the same thing. If you wanted something different, you wouldn't be doing the same thing. And we tend to internalize that as, oh, yeah, you must be right. But they're not. And you know that. You know that you are not doing the same thing, that you're in a different space, that maybe you extended that period of wellness or being clean out even further than you did the last time. It's important. Do what you can and give yourself the credit for what you've done.
Because I think we beat ourselves up, and we sure as hell let other people beat ourselves up. And we need to, like I said, you need to give yourself a break and you need to give yourself credit. You're still here. You're reaching for something more. The people that are hopeless means that there's something that they really want. They want hope, or they wouldn't even be feeling anything. And because of that, that means they know there's something bigger, right? They know there's something out there they're supposed to be doing. And, you know, just one baby step at a time. I loved how you said living, you know, being in the now, because, you know, that is the place where magic happens. That's the only time we can do anything. And I love it. I'm meditating and, you know, like 2 minutes in, I go, oh, shit, I forgot I was meditating. I let my mind wander. But we need to say we can't beat ourselves up that happened, because we've got a brand new moment right now.
Oh, that moment is so important.
We've got a brand new moment. And let's just take a big, deep breath. And in this moment, just quiet your mind, try to attach to your higher self, because that higher self is up there just going, hello, hello. I want to help, right? Because that's where your power comes from.
Yes.
Is that right? Yeah.
Exactly.
So it must be very rewarding working with these people. I'm sure that at times, you know, it may be frustrating, or you have to have a lot of patience, but there's got to be some great, you know, very general stories that you could like maybe share with us. One of them, as far as taking this information and helping them get to another level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's not just what I have to offer them. The nature of a peer support relationship is that we are learning and growing from each other. There is never a situation where I can enter into a conversation with someone and I am also not getting something as well. So we're learning and growing from each other, and I've really learned not to take it on as my stuff. So I don't get frustrated. My thought, if I see someone again, is I'm glad they know we're here. I'm glad they know they can reach out. So if someone comes to the hospital again and they're like, oh man, you know, I was just here last week. My thought is, way to show up. I'm so glad you're safe. It's good to see you safe. I'm glad you know we're here for you. What's going on in this moment? And that's a game changer also. I talk about balance, not relapse. Relapse is another word I've released. Relapse is one of those shame-infused words. Oh my goodness, there is so much shame around the word relapse. And that can go towards addiction recovery or mental health challenges, that sense of relapse. So when someone comes in and they're like, oh, you know, I was doing good for 2 weeks and then I relapse, you can just see it in their whole body.
Because it's like a failure to them, right? That's where they're living from.
Right. And so my conversation follows by saying, what I'm hearing is for 2 weeks, things were going well. You had a sense of balance. It's about balance to me. When things are going well, that's because there's a good sense of balance, you know. And balance isn't something that's just there. We have to tend and nurture a little too much of this, a little too much, you know. It's always tending and nurturing, right? And so when things are going well, that's because there's a good sense of balance. In those moments when we start engaging in undesired behaviors again, it's because something offset that balance. And so one of the things that helped guide me through addiction recovery challenges is when I would lose that sense of balance, my thought was, what was that? Instead of I relapse, which kept that going longer and deeper, it was, okay, something offset my sense of balance. What do I need to do to restore that balance? Who do I need to step away from? Who do I need to reach out to? What do I need to begin to restore that sense of balance? And it made it much more conducive and inviting for me to begin taking those steps when I looked at it in that way. I felt like I brought mindfulness to addiction recovery challenges.
I love that. And it's insightful and it is positive. And, you help bring balance to people. They come in to help restore that balance. And that's a positive thing. That's not necessarily, that's never a negative thing, right?
And that's the strengths-based, recovery-focused, hope-filled, empowering language.
I've got that written down. I'm going to put that somewhere. I'm not sure where I'm going to put it, but I think that's wonderful. And I think it's brilliant that this is what you decided to do with your life, because, you know, it's that insight that we talked about, and they're lessons. We need to be thankful for these lessons.
Yes.
You know, and as long as we're still breathing and making another good decision, I mean, that's all any of us can do is make a better decision in the present moment.
Right. And learn from the ones that didn't work out well. So my thought I began really focusing on what I was doing well, you know, really, I mean, getting radical with it, Paula, to the point where if I woke up in the morning and I got out of bed, I was like, yay me. If
I, woohoo! Yeah,
you know, I brushed my teeth, it was woohoo. If I took a shower, woohoo, you know. And
I love that.
And I started keeping track of that at the end of the day. I would write, yay me for dot, dot, dot. And,
I love that.
Sometimes it would be yay me for writing the yay me list, because it began inviting me to attract more of that, but to focus on that. That became my lens. So even when things didn't go well, it was like, well, yay me for recognizing that shit did not work out well. How do I see myself showing up differently? You know, so.
I love that. So at the end of the day, you do a yeah me list, and we have to, very rarely do we ever congratulate ourselves on doing anything good, or very rarely does anybody else congratulate us, unless it's like a huge milestone. But the little milestones are just as important, because at least we're moving forward. There's action in the whole thing, right?
Yes.
And, you know, the universe says, you know, like, our physicality is minuscule compared to what the universe is doing behind the scenes. So us taking baby steps is wonderful, but that old universe, man, it is just filling in all the blanks, right?
Yes.
Woo! Woo! I know. Well, Mike Dooley has no idea how much of a ripple effect he's had on everyone, because I think he changed your life. He allowed us to meet. You know, you had already grown a lot when we got to that point, but I think you were able to use a lot of his concepts, and I mean the law of attraction concepts, but he says it so kindly and so loving, and anybody that doesn't, you get his notes from the universe, right?
Oh yes.
And don't you think they're just written directly for you? Cause I think, he just got up this morning and wrote it for me.
Aren't they though?
I know. And anybody out there can go to tut.com, T-U-T.com, and there's a place to sign up for Notes from the Universe. It's a daily email. It's free. It is so inspiring. It's the first thing I look at in the morning to say, oh, what's the universe have to tell me today? So I think that was probably helpful for you too, right?
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes.
You know, and baby steps. I mean, baby steps. That's what we have to do, is baby steps, right?
Because we have... Without it, I remember having like a booing section, a mind chatter, a internal dialogue that just focused on everything. It felt like I totally effed up, you know, you this and you that and you this and you that. I never knew that I could have a cheering section. Like, I have a cheering section when I do things. I've got this whole, woohoo, yay me, I feel amazing. That was awesome. Oh my gosh.
I love that. Okay, so we need to get rid of our booing section, and we need to invite more people into our cheering section in our brain, because really it's our thoughts. And some people think it's impossible to control the next thought, because we think outside influences are making us feel that way. But when we can, like you said, take a big deep breath and just kind of quiet our mind, realizing we can choose a better feeling thought, you know, the sun is shining, you know, we've got clean water there's got gratitude is huge. I know that that's one thing you probably use a lot.
Yes.
In your therapy with people, is helping them look at the gratitude in things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Is that what do you that?
Every there's gratitude in every moment. Every moment is gratitude for the moment. When I see individuals, I don't ask, how are you doing? Which is such a loaded question. My question is, how is this moment going?
I love that. You asked me that when we got on at the very beginning. I loved it. It made a difference. So that would be one thing that people could ask each other, because that reminds you to stay in the moment, right? That reminds you the only thing that's important is right now, what are we going to choose to do? not what happened in the past. We can't promise what's going to happen in the future, but right now, in the present moment, what can we choose to do? What baby steps can we take?
It's like squirrel, the moment.
That's right, squirrel, but a squirrel is good.
Right. Yeah.
So would you encourage people to reach out to a mental health facility in the neighbor, in whatever, whatever neighborhood they're in, if they want to get help? Do you have some ideas what you can tell them to do?
Yes, there are oftentimes in communities, there may be a warm line that you can call that offers peer support, where you can reach out to and receive that support that's needed in that moment. If therapy is an option or something that someone's interested in, I absolutely encourage that. And I'm going to say what I wish someone had told me many therapists ago, which is, if you don't connect with the person, find somebody else. It's not, oh, this isn't for me. It's that person isn't for you. Find somebody that you connect well with. That is imperative for the relationship to work.
Well, that is very insightful, because I think a lot of people, if they go one time and they don't like it, they just say it's not for me, and then they don't even try. So they need to continue to try to find someone that they get along with, right?
Yes, ma'am. Support groups. They have different mental health and wellness support groups or addiction recovery support groups. Those go a long way in, so that you're not feeling alone in your experience and isolated.
Well, and you know, like in the Bible, it says, where two or more are gathered in my name, you know, there's synergy, there's more energy, there's, you can borrow from somebody else's energy if right then you don't have enough energy to get through. So I think tribes make a big difference. I think if you can surround yourself with the people that are striving to do better, not the old crowd, you know, but I think reaching out and having a tribe that will support you would be extremely helpful. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Are there any particular groups that you recommend, or any kind of addiction support groups?
So there is an organization called NAMI, N-A-M-I, which actually stands for National Alliance of Mental Illness. I look forward to them changing their name to National Alliance of Mental Health. However,
there you go. That would be good. Let's manifest that. Let's put that out there.
They have incredible resources on their website. And you can put in your zip code and find support groups in your area. They have a wealth of information about pretty much any type of mental health challenge or diagnosis. And they have family support groups. So that's a website that I would go to and check on, or just type in mental health organizations in your area and see what comes up.
Well, that's a really good first step. Mm-hmm. And do you have anything to tell the family and friends of the people that are right now in the throes of these things that are difficult? Is there something you can tell them to help us, you know, help the people, or help us cope with it?
Oftentimes family members need support as well.
Yes. Uh-huh.
They often don't know, in their attempt to offer support, unintentionally the wrong things are said, or the things that are not helpful are said, such as, why can't you just get over it? Or have you, you know, you need to just, or you should, you know, get shoulded on. So family support can offer the community so that you can learn like the scripting or the words of what to say or how to respond or have a better understanding of what your loved one's experiencing, and to know that you're not alone in it, you know, and find things that have been helpful for other family members as well.
So I'm assuming they just also Google something like that.
Support mental health, family support groups.
Okay, that'd be great. That would be great, because this is probably a tough time of year for a lot of people. And perhaps if they reach out and get some support, you know, that will make all of this thing easier.
You are correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Haviland, I loved having you on the show. I appreciate this. We haven't talked for a couple of years, and I'm so glad that we connected. I'm glad you did some speech a couple of weeks ago, because I went, whoa, she's kicking ass and taking names. I want her on my show.
Yes. Thank you so much for inviting me, Paula. I really appreciate this.
Yeah, I appreciate you being here and everything you've done. And I'm so in awe of the strength that you've shown and the tenacity, and you're funny and you're beautiful and you're so helpful. So I'm glad you showed up. I'm glad you showed up in your life and that you're helping other people.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thank you. And we will be right back. And we are back. Wasn't she insightful? So you said the word hindsight. If you take out the H and the D, it becomes insight. And I think that's one thing we need to realize. We can't beat ourselves up for things that happened in the past. Let's use that hindsight to give us insight, to give us lessons that we need to be learning on this journey that we're on. You know, we're never going to get it done. And we're never going to get it wrong, because we're never going to get it done. We have another chance in the next moment to do something that makes us feel better. This is a vibrational universe. Our thoughts control the vibration our body's in. And we can choose in an instant, in a present moment, in the now, to think a better feeling thought. Hope, gratitude, appreciation, just for a moment. It makes all the difference in the world, because this is the season of hope. You know, this is when we should be helping and hoping the most we possibly can. So I appreciate you being with us tonight, and I appreciate you always being on this journey with us. And as Ram Dass always says, we are just walking each other home, and I appreciate the fact that we get to spend a little time together to do that. So until next time, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for joining Paula Kidd Casey on Lawyer of Attraction Radio Show. For more information about Paula programs and her book, please visit www.lawyerofattraction.com. Until next week, may you experience the magic of manifesting genuine abundance.